The cannabis community is a diverse set of people from all walks of life. Conservative and liberal, black and white, straight and gay, rich and poor, and everyone in between. Learn more about the people we are freeing from adult cannabis prohibition in our Cannabis Community Chat.
Welcome back, everybody. Joining us on Skype from Uruguay, we've got Eric Rice, who's been on our show before. We spoke to him about the Drug Lord movie, but today we're talking to him in Uruguay. And Eric, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me back, Rice.
And is it Reese or Rice? I forgot.
Rice like the food.
I did it right then. Fantastic. Eric Rice on the show. And Eric, I got the note from you that you're in Uruguay, in Montevideo, and you had just interviewed a former president of Uruguay. Could you tell us more?
No. We've set up an interview with him, but it's about 6 or 7 weeks away.
Oh, I see.
I have been speaking to a personal friend of his, actually. And so we're one degree of separation from the president or the former president. And yeah, it's proving to be a very interesting experience. I don't know if your listeners know this, but Uruguay is the first country in the world to legalize cannabis on a national scale. And everywhere you go, there's people growing cannabis in their front yards. It's quite amazing to see. And you can smoke it anywhere. You can smoke it outside a bank. You can smoke it on the beach. You can smoke it in the street. And the police just walk on by. They don't seem to have any interest in harassing people who are consuming or marijuana or growing it.
That's so fantastic to hear. And I'd also heard report that the price in Uruguay is like $1 per gram. Is that correct?
They haven't begun selling it officially yet, but the price will be between $1 and $2 a gram.
Oh, wow. And the other thing I'd heard in that is that the country had come up with three particular genetically distinct strains of cannabis that will be Uruguayan cannabis. So they can tell when it's seized somewhere else, they'll know that it's getting outside its borders. Can you confirm that at all?
Yes, that's correct. They want to be able to track it from, to protect the, you know, the integrity of the new market. They want to make sure that all of the cannabis being sold is actually being produced by licensed growers. So they have got their own specific genetics, which they're going to be using to supply the legal market here.
That's remarkable. Now, we were telling a story earlier in our news segment about Justin Trudeau and the Liberal Party up in Canada and how they received this briefing paper that before Canada can go forward with legalizing marijuana, they got to worry about these three separate United Nations drug treaties that they're a signatory to. Isn't Uruguay also a signatory to these treaties? And have they gotten any pushback from the UN drug committees?
They have gotten pushback. And José Mujica, who was president at that time, when he received these threatening messages from the United Nations, he basically just ignored them. And that's what Justin Trudeau can and should do as well. We cover these treaties in depth in Drug Lord, in the first Drug Lord film. I'm here making the second Drug Lord film. But for those of you who want to understand how these treaties came to be the international matrix of prohibition that they currently are, it all stems back to Harry Anslinger. Harry Anslinger, the infamous first drug czar in the United States, represented the U.S. at the United Nations. And in 1961, he foisted the first modern international drug treaty on the world, which is still in operation today. It's had several layers added to it, but essentially the entire world is following a prohibitionist system that was established by Harry Anslinger. And it's amazing that it still has so much power. In New Zealand, which is where I made the first Drug Lord film, that's usually cited as the reason why New Zealand cannot break away from the prohibitionist system. It's because it's a signatory to the International Convention on Narcotic Drugs, 1961. And as Uruguay has demonstrated, those treaties have no real power. There's nothing to stop national leaders from just ignoring them And if they want to make it official, there are procedures within the United Nations where you can withdraw from a treaty and then re-sign with conditions. And so that's the official way of doing it, and that's what Justin Trudeau will hopefully do.
Wow, this is very interesting. We're speaking with Eric Rice, the director of Druglaud, making the Druglaud 2 movie, and also an artist in residence at Colectivo Canábico. Did I get that correct?
Yes, that's right. I'm actually in Piriápolis now, not in Montevideo. It's about an hour's drive outside of Montevideo, and I'm staying at one of the cannabis collectives. They're all over the country, and there are three ways of obtaining cannabis legally, or two at the moment, and there'll be a third later in the year. You can be part of a club, you can be an autocultivadoro, which is what the collectives are. They're people who grow their own, and you'll be able to buy a cannabis later in the year at the pharmacies here, at licensed pharmacies. So it's a legalized market, and it seems to be working very well. You know, people in this country have accepted it. There's not the same kind of prejudice that there is against cannabis users in a lot of other parts of the world. When I was walking down the street, I saw many people just openly smoking cannabis, talking to their neighbors. Nobody really, it's not a thing anymore. You know, even in Colorado and other states that have legalized it, there's still an element of resistance. You know, there's still the counties and the jurisdictions that want to shut it out, and they're trying to close down dispensaries if they're too close to schools or too close to churches and so forth. Uruguay doesn't have those problems at all. It's just accepted as par for the course.
Are any of these rights contingent on being a citizen of Uruguay, or does this apply to tourists as well?
No, they've excluded the tourists, actually. You cannot obtain cannabis as a foreigner. So there's still a black market in Uruguay to cater for those people, and also to cater for the Uruguayans themselves, because there's actually insufficient cannabis to meet the demands of the local population. And so there's something called Paraguash, which is one of Paraguay's principal exports. It's this gray, moldy, compressed weed that gets smuggled across the border and is sold in a lot of countries in South America, and it's really awful. And so, you know, even though they are bringing the black market out into the open here, there are still the vestiges of prohibition, and hopefully those will disappear in time.
So Uruguay is leading the charge. How is the rest of South America and Latin America responding, especially with U.S. legalization happening?
Well, there's been a lot of moves to legalize cannabis for medicinal reasons. In Colombia, the president of Colombia has signed laws that allow for the first time legal access for medical patients. I believe closer to home, I think Puerto Rico has legalized medical cannabis. So in Latin America, in Mexico as well, in Latin America, there's a surge of acceptance of cannabis for its medical uses. The Mexican Supreme Court recently determined that using cannabis is a fundamental human right. So that's a big step forward, you know, where they can make a declaration like that. It just basically means that cannabis users are slowly being drawn into a more legal, more accepted and protected way of existing, because prior to that, there's all of the prejudices and all of the laws against cannabis use, the suppression of the culture, even suppression of the information as well. You know, in terms of certain books are illegal in certain places, books on how to grow cannabis, for example, and all of those things are slowly being peeled back. So it's very exciting. It's a very exciting time, you know, for legalization, and I think the momentum is building.
In the United States, Colorado is being sued by Nebraska and Oklahoma, neighboring states, because they say, well, you legalized and now all this weed's flooding across the border. Is there anything similar happening around Uruguay with its neighbors? Have they reacted negatively to the legalization?
No. In fact, most of the neighbors of Uruguay have decriminalized possession. So the main issue is the Paraguayan weed, the god-awful moldy Paraguayan weed, which is almost part of the culture here. You know, I've asked a lot of people, and they say yes, they'll smoke it even though it's bad. And it's I think what needs to really happen is that the legal market has to explode, and so that will push back these less salubrious substitutes that people have to resort to. There's also I should mention there's also a problem in Uruguay and a lot of South American countries with cocaine. Cocaine production has exploded. You know, there was that Plan Colombia introduced in 2000, and it's cost the US $10 billion so far to squash cocaine production in Colombia. And what happened was there was an initial success with Plan Colombia, and then all of the, you know, drug warriors started, you know, saying, "We told you so, this is how you can stop it." But all it did was push production into neighboring countries like Bolivia and Peru, and increase production in those countries. And now production in Colombia has resurged and is at four times its level that it was in 2000 before Plan Colombia began. So the more you try and stomp out these drug production facilities and coca farms, the more valuable you make the commodity, and the more you incentivize farmers to grow coca and produce cocaine. And that is one of the reasons why in Uruguay they decided to legalize cannabis, because they realized that if people are offered a legal alternative, a less harmful social tonic than cocaine, they will probably turn to using it, and that will decrease the levels of cocaine use.
Great policies, harm reduction in action. And Eric Rice, the director of the movie Drug Lawed, and I encourage everyone to check that movie out. Can you give us any preview on when Drug Lawed 2 will be out?
Well, we've shot three quarters of it so far. We've shot a segment in Israel featuring Professor Raphael Meshulam, who discovered the THC molecule. We shot a feature. We shot a segment in Australia featuring Fiona Patten, who's a member of parliament there for the Australian Sex Party, and she's been cheerleading for cannabis and a wider drug law reform for a long time. And just last year, she was actually elected into the parliament, so that was a major step forward. And we've shot a segment in New Zealand as well, featuring a whole host of people, including New Zealand's biggest smuggler, who was arrested by the DEA and spent 15 years incarcerated in California. And when he was released to New Zealand, he was just living a quiet life there. And one day he bought the newspaper, and his story was all over the front page. Some reporter had uncovered who he was, and his story is incredibly gripping. I don't want to give too much away, but he was transporting literally tons of hashish and marijuana across Europe, and made a terrible mistake by importing some into the US, and that's how the DEA finally caught him. And he was in a judge's office being arraigned in some way when he tried to make his escape by jumping out a window, and subsequently broke both of his legs and was immediately reapprehended, and spent 1 year in a hospital, in a prison infirmary. So he's got a lot to say about, you know, what it was like working for the DEA as an informant, because that's what he ended up having to do
My
in
goodness.
order to reduce his sentence, because they had threatened him with life in prison if he didn't cooperate. And so he pretended to cooperate. He was actually a kind of a false informant, I guess. He was giving them incorrect information and tipping the people off who he was supposed to be entrapping. So yeah, his story is quite gripping, and I'm looking forward to explaining it.
Give folks a website address where they can learn more.
Sure, it's www.druglord.com. Druglord is spelled druglawed.com, as in outlawed. And you can also go to our Facebook page, Facebook/druglord, And if you like our Facebook page tonight, we'll send you a free download of the film. Just send us a message saying you heard me on the Russ Belville show, and you'll get a free download of Drug Lord 1.
Oh, thank you so much, Eric Rice, for joining us and filling us in on Latin America. We'll talk to you again soon.
Okay, thanks, Russ.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.